to as Prerna Youth Festival. We have already conducted 15 such seminars in Nashik city itself, and more than 5,000 students have been benefited from it. Lastly, all of us have a very good friend of ours. I would request all of you to please either switch it off or put it on vibrator mode. Because as you have taken out your valuable time, so have the others. So this should not cause any kind of disturbance to the others who have come here. Can I have the confirmation? So I hope that everybody has put on their mobiles on vibrator mode or have shut them off. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakhaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tatme Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Tatitam Yena Bhutale Svalamrita Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruha Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Guruham Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhur Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gharangi Radha Brinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vamsha Parita Paribhyascha Krita Sindhubya Evacha Tatita Maam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pradhanityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we welcome all the students as well as our other participants for this month's seminar. We used to have just for boys the Prerna every month, and just for girls the Chetana and the corporate seminars. But then we decided that as we are progressing on the stage of coming to the modern age, people are finding less time to take out from their busy schedules for these kind of seminars. So therefore, we decided that we'll try out to club everything together. So, I guess we have a full house this evening. How many of you are coming for the very first time? Raise your hands. Oh. And how many of you have been here before? Okay. So anyways, we welcome everyone. Whoever is coming, you can bring them from here. I guess everyone is able to see the screen? Okay. Looks interesting? Some people are asking whether are we going to show some National Geographic clippings looking at these three wonderful personalities who are depicting these emotions which we'll try to discuss this evening. Am I loud enough? Are you all able to hear me? Okay. You know, when I was preparing this particular presentation and I got hold of these images, I was thinking, when I was in school, whenever we were playing mischief, that's what one of the characteristics of schools, playing mischief, and the teacher will score us. One of our teachers, the English teacher, she would score us saying, don't monkey around. You know, there is a term in English, don't monkey around. Because monkeys, they are not famous for being peaceful entities. They are not famous for being in trance, just like you can see. So, our English teacher would tell us, sometimes when she would catch us doing some mischief, she had a phrase, from where have you come? I said, welcome. Kahan se aaye? And then she would say, I bet all of you from branches to benches. You look like you were just yesterday from some branch monkeying around and now you have landed on these benches. Looking into the modern life, we would say that if those monkeys would look into what we are doing, we human beings, then maybe imagine if there is a school of monkeys, and in that school, some English teacher teaching whatever to the monkeys. So the teacher would tell to the monkeys, maybe nowadays, from benches to branches, the opposite. So, of course, over here we are discussing these emotions, we'll be trying to look into what a human being undergoes when he is experiencing these emotions of hurry, worry, and sorry. So, I just want to hurry up for the seminar to put you in some kind of worry so that at the end of the seminar, all of us should not be feeling sorry. So, hopefully, we'll have some enlivening session tonight. At the very outset, let's try to define that what those three monkeys represented. Wow, all around. I'm a little worried now. So at the outset, those three emotions and those three emotions, hurry, worry and sorry. When we are trying to understand from the human point of view, we are human beings. So hurry represents the loop. It represents the loop that particular phase of one's life. Very much hurried. Worry represents mirror of a human being. And also they call it the midlife crisis. Have you heard of that? The midlife crisis. And of course, sorry. It goes down to old age. So when we are talking about these three phases of a human being, and I see at least we have two. We have the hurry phase and we have the worry phase, or maybe sometimes all three, they might show up themselves in just a youth. So one time, you know, there were some passengers on an airplane, and it so happened that the airplane was wobbling, and because of the turmoil in the atmosphere, there was some slam in the airplane, and the pilot announced, whoever is on board has to hold on to whatever parachute available and jump off the plane. So there were four passengers, including the pilot. So the pilot, there was one politician, there was a professor, and there was a student. And they found out that there were only three parachutes on the airplane. So the pilot, he just put the plane on auto. Not auto rickshaw, autopilot. He put the plane on autopilot, and he grabbed one parachute, said, because I am the one who is announcing about all this, so I should be the one first using the first parachute. He took the first one and he jumped off. Then there was another one, the politician was there, the second passenger. And the politician, he grabbed one particular parachute, he grabbed and he said, I am the leader of this particular country, I am supposed to be also saving myself. And he jumped. Now the professor, he turned to the student. I have already learned my life. And whatever I wanted to teach you, I have already taught you. Your life is ahead of you. Sometimes professors say like that. But this one said that the life is ahead of you, so you better grab the parachute, send one available. So you better grab the parachute and you feel yourself. But the student said, my dear sir, don't worry. There are two parachutes still. I said, how come there are only three? I said, the politician was in such a hurry that he picked up my school bag. Both of us, we have parachutes for each of us to be saved. So similarly, our journey is like that. And many times in our journey of our life, we have the facilities to save ourselves in unforeseen circumstances, but many times because of hurry, we land up picking up something which might not be of any use for us at that particular time. So therefore, we have to understand that the worry and the sorry aspect of one's life is so time when a person can use her gift is not properly organizing the human life. Or if the gift is given in hurry, then it leads them to the midlife worry crisis, and that follows behind by the sorrowful life, or the sorrow life of the old man. Now, the first stages of man, since we have began with the outset of what those three emotions would comprise of, the first stage is called infancy. And small infant babies, sometimes they appear to be worry-free, sometimes they appear to be hurry-free and sorry-free. Like in a family, just a newborn infant baby, and there is the grown-up brother on the office. So the mother is coming to the elder child, to the elder son. Beta, how nice it will be when your little brother will grow up and start speaking like you. And he said, why mama? He is already getting everything without speaking. Let him be like that. He just cries and everything he gets. He doesn't have to speak anything. And I started speaking and I don't get anything now. So let him be, you know, the infant will be just crying and getting everything whatever he wants. So our infancy is one particular stage of a human being. Then there comes into childhood. This is the second stage. Then adolescence. This is some particular age where, you know, everyone is like, this is the prime of my life. This is the pink of my life, and definitely this is the life which I've been waiting for, adolescence. You wonder, what would be the fourth stage? You know where this comes from? There is a word called obsolete. Obsolete means no more existing. So after adolescence, this is the fourth stage, obsolescence, which means then that human being becomes obsolete. I had a friend of mine, quite humorous person, and he said that he also had, you know, his definition of the four stages of a man. There are four stages of a man. He said, a man before marriage is Spider-Man. Catching. You know, Spider-Man is like that. Catching all the prey. So before marriage he is Spider-Man, on the day of marriage he is Superman. Just on that day. So on the day of marriage he is Superman. And then after few years of marriage he becomes Doberman. And you know what is the fourth stage? And when he is old, after many years, he turns into Watchman. So from Spider-Man to Superman to Doberman to Watchman. Now, when we are talking about these emotions which we are experiencing as hurry, worry and sorry, and over here we have the four stages of a man, something very interesting that at 20, we don't care what the world thinks of us. At 30, we worry about what it's thinking of us. At 40, we discover it wasn't thinking of us at all. So many times, you know, our hurriedness, our worriedness, and our sorriedness doesn't have any base at all. Therefore, we have to understand that where am I heading in my life? Dealing with what the youth, most of you all over, sitting over here are college going students. Go to college? Because sometimes college happens to be a place you occasionally visit. Some of my friends, you know, they would talk to each other. Chal college chalte aaj. I don't think that's the case here. So you all religiously go to your college. So when we compare the youth to a human being who is so much in a hurry, we have something interesting. It is said that youth is like a new boy, you know me? How many times we have heard the phrase otherwise, that you can't teach new tricks to an old dog. But many times in one's youth, he's trying to learn so many new tricks, and that is the age where he is so much in a hurry. I want to learn computer, I want to learn, you know, driving, I want to learn riding. I want to learn flying. I want to learn so many things. The list goes on and on and on. So in one's youth, that human being or that youth is focusing on how he can learn so many of these tricks and the talents. Now many times we see that the talents which we try to acquire in one's youth, first of all, what is it geared towards? What is it focused on? Many times it's just focused on how, when I cross beyond my useful life, how all of these new tricks which I'm trying to acquire should fetch me. Should fetch me enough capital so that my midlife goes without worry. So therefore, the useful life is in such a hurry to make sure that the midlife doesn't go in a worry. And of course, the old age should not be a stage that I should be feeling sorry about. I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that, I couldn't go there, I couldn't be there. So many things, you know, I couldn't. So, yesterday, here in our duty is trying to just gather some news. As it says, teenage years are the time when you are thrilled to be told you look older than you are. You know, this is the stage when one is a youth, when somebody says, if you look 24 years old, you feel good about that. Ah, I'm just 18, I look like 25. Wow. That's the compliment. Now, many times it is said that don't ask a man his salary and a woman her age. One time a husband was discussing with another one and he asked that, your wife has to marry because of her age, like mine? And he said, not technically. What she says is that her age is the same as mine, but she lies about my age. So when we are talking about teenage life or that hurried life, we are talking about how it's like wet cement. Niti Shastra explains that life is like wet cement. You know, wet cement, whatever impressions are made of it, it just remains like that. It lasts forever when it dries up. Or if you have wet cement, you can mold it in any shape or form you like. But once that wet cement, you have given a particular shape, and then it dries up, then the only thing, if you want to change the shape, is you have to break it. So therefore, this is the age when we have to be so much focus because it is the foundation. This is the foundation. It's like at a crossroad. Wherein what particular turn will take will depend where your future destination will be. It's like a clock. You set a particular time on the clock and then the clock goes at that particular time. If you set it 1 hour late, the clock will run 1 hour late. If you set it on right time, the clock will go at its right time. So this is the time, in fact, rather than hurry up, one should be focusing on how am I putting my energy in trying to build the foundation of my life, which is that particular age and phase of one's human form of life. And therefore, we see the people who are not able to discern and decipher that what is the most important factor which I have to look into as a group, get into this particular trouble. As they say, the name of the game nowadays is run, brother, run. Hurry life means simply keep running. So there is one example which is given. Every morning in Africa, a stag wakes up to know it must outrun the fastest lion or it will be killed. And what happens every morning in Africa? A lion wakes up to know it must outrun the slowest stag or it will starve. And therefore, it doesn't matter whether you are a lion or a stag, when the sun comes up, you would better be running. So whether it is the stag, whether it is the deer, or whether it is the lion, when the sun comes up, both are running. One to slow itself, one to pounce on it. So therefore, have you heard of Darwin's theory? You know this gentleman Darwin? What did he say? Survival of the fittest. You have to be the fittest. And then only you can survive. But if Darwin would have come now, he would have said this. Survival of the fastest. Just be on the pace. Keep running. Hurry life. And then only you can survive. Coming from Bombay, you know, if you have seen the life there in Bombay, if you are not fast enough, you can't reach anywhere. Forget about accomplishing anything, you can't even reach. You have to be, people are simply just running. If you hold them and ask them, where are you running? They get confused. Because nobody has the time to stop and ask this question to them. And therefore, you know, there are one student, it was his birthday. This was in UDCT college there, UICT it's called now. So I asked him, today is your birthday, how old are you? He said, I'm 19 years running. I said, wait, wait. You see that this is what the scenario is nowadays, that people, they are trying to just run the race, not knowing that on what road they are. Simply keep running. Like I was speaking to some management guys recently, and I was quoting this one example in regards to this competitive life. The one time in a forest, there were two friends, they went on a hunting excursion. And it so happened that, you know, as they were exploring the forest and doing their excursion of hunting, they spotted a cheetah. All of you know, cheetah? They spotted a cheetah, a deadly leopard. Now both of them, you know, they were taking their steps back. They were looking. Hare Krishna. That was some special effect. So, this spotted the cheetah. Now this is one thing, that you are in a jungle and you spot a cheetah. What if the cheetah spots you? That's a different story. So, when they were spotting the cheetah spotted both of them. And now, whatever little shivering they were having and trembling they were having, it started to sound then. There was a sound effect then, in their trembling and shivering as the cheetah spotted. And the cheetah was looking with so much of anticipation. With a broad smile, the cheetah is looking. Welcome. Welcome to our world. And thank you for the lunch. And the cheetah started to chase. And the cheetah started to chase. You know, one of them, two of those friends, one of them, he started to remove his backpack and his running shoes. And the other one was looking, hey, you think you are going to outrun this cheetah by putting on your running shoes? No, I will outrun you. Because the cheetah is just one of us. So I'm going to outrun you. And bye bye Tata. Go. So we see that in this competitive world where people are simply after, you know, not just running the race, not just trying to win that race, but nowadays people are trying to run that race by stepping over others' heads. You know, it's one thing that, you know, everyone is like, you know, in their tracks and running a race. But nowadays people, they don't want to just run in their own tracks. They make sure that the other guy next to me, he should not be running. And somehow make him fall. And then, if in case he comes in the way, then use him as a stepping stone to climb my ladder of success. So that is the meaning of the game, as they say. Simply keep running. And therefore, the society trends, it's not simply that innocently nowadays in one's youthful life a person is seeing so much hurry, but the society trends have become like this, that being selfish is considered to be healthy. You should be selfish, otherwise you won't progress, and being competitive is considered to be progressive. Now, there is a term called healthy competition and there is a term called unhealthy competition. So when we see that the unhealthy competition which is going on nowadays, wherein it's called a doggy dog world. I step on you and then I climb the ladder of my success. That is the way, you know. If India wins, everyone else should cry. Now, you know, there was this World Cup football, and so how many? 32 countries? So 32 countries, and only one country went and 31 they cried. So we see that the situation which we have made for all of us is that my happiness is dependent on others' miseries. When others are miserable, then that is the criterion of my being happy. I was speaking yesterday. Neighbors envy owner's pride. When neighbors, they start envying me, that is my pride. Yeah. Then people are writing books. People are writing books nowadays. And you know these books, what they contain in them? How many and one ways how to become successful. You know, those kind of books. Hundred and this, hundred and that, and so many of these ways, how to do that. Like there was one person, he wrote a book, 108 ways, how to become a millionaire. And one person asked, you wrote this book, 108 ways, how to become a millionaire and why you are begging on the street? This is one of the ways. Speaking about his father, and he said that it was an interview that what sons have done for their fathers. So this one son was asked that, what have you done for your father? He said, I made my father a millionaire. Really? And what was he before? He was a multi-millionaire before. Another millionaire. We were talking about
Errol.
I'm just checking on you. Okay. So we are talking about how this one book, talking about the book. We are talking about this book. In this book it says that the barometer of your success is how many people envy you. If you have 10 people who envy you in your life, then you should work upon more to increase the number. There should be at least 15, 20 in a year's time, they should start envying you. The more number of people envy you, which means they are envying more, they are envying your success. So they are envying your success. That is what will decide how successful you are in your life. So, this is what has become the society trend is that unless you run the rat race, unless you are running the rat race, you are not considered to be a normal person. You are not running the rat, you are not in the race. Forget about the rat race, you are not in the race. You should be running. And you know, if somebody is asked that, where is the finishing line? No finishing line. Keep running. Keep running. No finishing line. There is a starting line. In fact, nowadays people don't even know where the starting line is. They see others are running. He is bhagra. Like, you know, the watchmen in India, they keep saying, jaagte raho. So, maybe they are telling to the people who are sleeping, jaagte raho, taki main so. Shor ka tumhe bhi pakdo. So, going ahead, we are saying that nowadays the move is into information and technology. You must be wondering why the technology is being put so big and the information so small. Because, as I said, the IT, that's what they call the IT industry. We see that the I of the IT has been overshadowed by the T. If you just want to go into the information part, that information part has been overshadowed so much by the technology that nowadays people, even information is never available. It is simply the technology which people are enamored and overwhelmed by. In fact, I found that the IT should be abbreviated as information leading to transformation. Not simply such technology. So yes, everyone is trying to become techno-savvy. Everyone is trying to become technocrat. Someone becomes very expert in handling machines. Yes, I know everything in and out of this machine. So you become very expert in handling machines. But what about the man behind the machine? We hardly care about the man behind the machine. And therefore, the technology is overwhelming us. And therefore, as I said, we are suffering from information overload, knowledge malnutrition, and constipation of ideas. You know constipation? Huh? Very well. Because we are living in a world nowadays you know, the paradox of a modern day man, we are living in an age of fast food, slow digestion. The food is very fast. So here we are talking about, you know, when a person is constipated, it's a terrible situation. So here we might have encountered constipation in a gross sense. But here, spiritually, it is being spoken about constipation of one's ideas. That are being constipated of what should be the goal of the human form of life. And therefore, there is terrible information. One philosopher, he defined the modern education in 5 words. Information, 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 no transformation. So there are layers of information, and in our mind it becomes a repository of data. Just like any computer, feed in, you know, and if this is, you know, overdone, if this is overdone, put a hard disk, you know, 100 gig, 200 gig, 300. Then a double layer, what is next? Terabytes. After gigabytes, then there is terabytes. Any further? Huh? Not yet. So, simply our mind in that particular stage simply becomes like some hard disk carrying some information with no motion. We lose all motion and simply we become carriers of information and information. But my dear friends, if you know what the real meaning of education, since all of you are trying to pursue education from some point of view, I guess, yes, you are all trying to pursue education. You know what is the literal meaning of that word education? The grammatical, etymological meaning of that word education? Do we have any smart guy who might come up and say what that word education means? It comes from the Latin word educare, which means to draw out what is inherent within us. That doesn't mean, you know, you draw out your kidney, liver, you know, inherent within me is all. No. It means to draw out what is our real self. And for that we should know what is our real self first. So that is where the youth should be sticking itself, trying to educate itself, not just in some handling of machines and some materials and dead matters. We should be actually going deeper into, many of you might be pursuing your engineering. So the question we should be asking also, how about engineering my life? Where am I getting that life education? And that's when I met George Bernard Shaw. Correct? He said, well, I don't want my schooling to come in between me and my education. He was talking about the real life education. And therefore, it is said that this is something very interesting. There is a lie. All of you know? Jhoot. There is a lie. There are bigger lies than there are advertisements. If you want to go further, you know, so ordinary, you know, what they call it in Hindi is kapoor jhoot. In English also they call it the white lie. So, you know, the lies beginning with gray lie. You know, not the proper one. When it comes to its PhD level of the white lie, it is said that those are the advertisements. And what are they doing? What are they doing to us? They are simply trying to make sure that we buy things which we do not need in our life. Am I right? Just like, you know, we just have these three, you know. So these three if you take over here, now over here the smart looking man is you know, trying to propagate that. How good is it? What? This little stick of cigarette. How good it is, like this, you know. And also, all these captions for these kind of ads, these adverts are very, very catchy. Especially for the cigarettes. Live life, kill sperm, and die dog size. Or maybe rat size. So, you know, we are known for each other. Wind filter. So these adverts, they are just trying to just bombard our consciousness and trying to just buy things which are not at all required. And therefore, of course, now, you know, these kind of things are coming in India also, where these supermarkets and now they call them hypermarkets. Have you heard of it? There is something called hypermarkets now. And the rest, there are these malls and supermarkets where if somebody enters into them, it's like you enter into another planet. And they make sure that, you know, their success, their record is that if 10 people enter into our supermarket, you know, they have these Walmarts, you know, these huge malls. Everyone who enters, if 10 people are entering, out of those 10 people, 8 people should come out with one of our products. And they are very, very successful in that. In fact, this was one case of one particular big mall, that the salesman, the new appointed salesman, he was rewarded for something, a task which he accomplished, which was practically impossible for someone else. Now, to give you some piece of information that these malls, they have everything under one roof, they say. Everything available under one roof. So this particular place then was rewarded because he could sell it to one customer a fishing rod, a fishing boat, and a pickup truck. Just to one customer. And then he was being precipitated and then he was asked, how could you accomplish that? You know, how did you, you know, advertise about all these products? And he said, it was so simple. You know, this customer came and this customer, he had a headache. So he came asking for, you know, some aspirin. So I said, why don't you take a break from your hurried life? What should I do? Just go out fishing. Really? And then I convinced him to buy a fishing rod. And then I said, if you really want to enjoy your fishing, you should go deep into the river. And how do you go deep into the river? You need a fishing boat. So we also have a fishing boat for you. So he bought a fishing boat. And then I said, how will you carry this huge boat? Why didn't you buy a pickup truck? So he bought a pickup truck. So he came originally with a headache. And I convinced him to buy a fishing rod, a fishing boat, a pickup truck with the headache. And also the aspirin. So we are over here talking about that it's not just that the useful fervor is creating that kind of hurriedness in someone, but it is the entire society around us that they have created a scenario. The world going around us are such that we can't even go away and save ourselves, save our skins from that kind of hurried life. So therefore, it is said that materialistic life is like game of cards. Many of you might have played cards. What do you have in India? Kyao? My Rummy. I remember, I don't know whether it's obsolete or, you know, there used to be this one Rummy. But I could never figure out that, you know, why, what, What waste of time, you know, people are simply sitting and just, you know, looking at the sky. And I run a kind of game and call it Gaddi Pe Gaddi. You know, keep putting in the same number, Gaddi Apni. That is nothing first, you know, Gaddi Pe Gaddi, nothing. No, we don't require any brains for that. So, how the materialistic life is compared to game of cards? Now, you know, in a game of cards, what is required is the right kind of card. What do you call that? Ikka. Huh? That's what you call that? The trump card. So, in a game of cards, you require the right kind of card to win. So, many times in our materialistic approach, we are also waiting for the right kind of card. So, imagine, you know, that you are playing that kind of game and you are waiting for the right kind of card to come for you. And when the card comes, all of us will say, chalo chess khelte, chalo yaar. And you are like, abhi mera card hai, arre bore, chalo. So materialistic life is like that. That we wait, when the right kind of card will come, and when the right kind of card comes, somebody else says, okay. Let's do something else. So, a man works hard to get the latest model car. And when he has accumulated enough sum to get the latest model car, then another company comes up with the next model car. This model car has become obsolete. And Tata comes with, you know, 1 lakh car. Arey, ye do mahina aur ruk jata. So, you go and learn some computer skills. You learn some computer skills and by the time you become very adept in those skills, that software package has become obsolete. A new one has come. And you go for, you know, with your degree, you know, hanging and go for a job and they say, what have you learned? This one particular. Baba Adam ki zamane ka hai. Latest, what latest you have done? So, this is what the materialistic life has become. When you learn something the latest and by the time you slog on and learn for that particular thing, that skill, that talent, that becomes obsolete in just a couple of years. You buy the latest model cell phone and you are waiting that, you know, when will I have enough money and I can have that latest model cell phone, and by the time you get enough money, and for that, one has to slog hard and get that enough money to buy that model cell phone, and then of course, another version has come. And everyone is talking about that. And then you show your, you know, the old one. And you feel very ashamed to take it out of everyone. Yeah, cell phone is kya dabba istemal kar raha hai? Like that. So nowadays, people, they do not even know that whatever things people are using, first of all, are they first required? Are they really needed for my survival? As Darwin, he said, you know, survival. Now the definition of the fittest, who is the fittest, is also being getting redefined. Who is the fittest? So people think that unless you have enough money in your pocket, you are the most unfit. So if you have sufficient money, your, you know, pockets are loaded, your wealth are loaded, treasury is loaded, bed underneath the bed, everything is loaded, ceiling, everything is loaded, and then somebody loads the gun also. So therefore, it is said that everything that I own now owns me. We think that I become the owner of all these different gadgets which I possess. But at a certain point of time, we realize that we are not the owners at a certain point of time. In fact, they start owning us. And therefore, it is said that the multinational companies are not trying to sell us products, my dear friends, nowadays. You know there is a message twist to that? We think that we are the consumers and we are consuming the products given by the multinationals. You know what the definition of consumer? The consume kar 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 mar. Consumer. The kasht kar 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 mar hai customer. So we think that we are the consumer, we are the customer. But all these companies are making us into products. We are no more the consumers, we have become the product to the hands of them. So therefore, everything that I own is now owning me, and the materialistic equation goes this way. What you see over here? That he's been slammed into that machine and been shown that, you know, this machine is more intelligent than you, Duffel. And then you have someone else who is trying to just worship just a sandal like that. And therefore, it is said that we are living in an age when people are used and objects are loved. There was a news in Mumbai that a student, college student, killed his father because the father stopped his cell phone usage. My father, or whether he is my grandfather or godfather, who? If my son's gratification is impeded, to challenge is checked, I destroy you. So people have gone to such an extent that objects are worshipped and people who are supposed to be loved are simply used like a doormat. You know, doormat, how people use the doormat? Saaf kiya? Yes. Or in the West, they say the West is that particular world. It is a use and throw culture which is going on. You know, they call it the use and throw culture. From tissue paper to life partners. Use and throw. You use the tissue paper, blow your mind or whatever, and then thrown in a trash can. So people have gone into that mentality that just like the you use, you know, say a Pepsi can, you drink from that, trash it down. You know, everything is made use and throw. So this mentality of use and throw comes in the relationship also. Okay, I use a certain person in my life, and when the usage is over, trash it out. So therefore, we see that our ideals in regards to that honeyed life which we are talking about, they are compared to an antique chair. Nice to talk about, talk, but too fragile to use. So antique chair, our ideals, we talk about ideals, yes. You know, today is the character day. So we should talk about character, and we should all have character. And you know, character is more accomplishing than any kind of wealth which we acquire. So we become good at giving sermons on character. But then if somebody asks, sir, what about your character? Hey, apni aukaat mein raho. So our ideals are many times, you know, our ideals and principles are only meant to be spoken for others. That, beta, aisa nahi karna chahiye, beta, aisa nahi karna chahiye. Just like there was one father, and he told to his son, "Are gade," sometimes you know that language is used, "that you fool, you duffer, what are you doing? You know when Abraham Lincoln was of your age? He was already making a living." And the son said, "And father, when he was of your age, you were the president of the United States of America." So many times, our ideas are like, you know, just speak about it to others. But when it comes for ourselves, it's a big question. And therefore, life is not a runaway, rather, it should be like a staircase. Many times, we want that our life should be like a runaway and the flight of our life should keep taking off. And many times it happens that that flight is hijacked. And there is a crash landing and sometimes it doesn't even take off. So now it is said that life should be considered like a staircase because we have to endeavor and we have to step in our life in such a way that we actually strengthen and fortify our life muscles. What is the advantage of stepping on a staircase? The advantages are that as we are stepping, we get to see how much we have progressed as we look back, and also while we are stepping up the staircase, we also strengthen and fortify our muscles to get strength enough more to go ahead. And therefore, life should be well thought of. It should not be that someone else gives us our life and says that you lead your life in my way. It happens many times that we do not have our own life to lead. We need someone else's given life. And therefore, we have to be very careful. And hurry, since we are talking about that particular subject at the outset, it is the antithesis of patience. Which means, it's the opposite of patience. And it's a very, very significant term, patience, and of course now impatience has become very significant. That everyone is impatient. Why everyone is impatient? Because we are dealing with situations in our life which is making us impatient. So, you have a cell phone and you just press few buttons and the guy on the other side lifts up. So, we are so much used to using some, keywords and key buttons that, on the laptop also. On the laptop also, or on the computer also, you just press some buttons and everything is shown. So what happens is, and of course your TV and the remote and what is all about, just pressing some, clicking some button. So you click some button, you don't like this channel, click the button, the next one. Click that button, the next one. You don't like any channel, click the button, boom. Blanked out. So what happens is, in trying to live that kind of life, when we are dealing with human beings, we are dealing with human beings also like that. When we deal with a remote control or a machine like that, when you deal with human beings, hey, I don't like you. Delete. Like many of you, you might have experiencing some trouble here sitting, my God, as I'm sitting in the middle of everyone and this person has started since last 1 hour and why is not hurrying up in his class? And you are looking for some remote, eh? Remote kind of channel change kar yaar. But you can't change this channel. So we are used to changing channels and if I don't like anything, just press the delete button. If I like something, download. So we like something, we try to download. We don't like, we try to delete. And if something is not working, format it. So this is the language which we are now using. Like I'm a child, you are asked by the professor. But what is the difference between discovery and invention? And he said, sir, my father discovered my mother and both invented me. So this is the language is going on. So in regards to impatience, when we are talking about impatience, man is praying to God. Oh Lord, patience, but I can't wait. Give me patience, it should be given right now. What does that mean? Sometimes we try to trick God. Like one time, there was one person, he went to God and he asked God, God, how do you calculate your time? Do you have a wristwatch? He is asking God. God says, yes, but my wristwatch has different, you know, time lag. So he's asking, but how do you time it? Like, how much is the one crore of years for you? How much is one crore of years? How much will it be for you? And God said, a moment. Your one crore of years is a moment of mine. I said, one crore of rupees is how much for you? And God said, for me it's just 50 paisa. My 50 paisa is your 1 crore of rupees. So then he asked, God, can you give me 25 paisa? And God said, just a moment. We try to create, our own kind of hurried life intelligence that we will try to trick the superior authorities with whatever. But as we are in, impatience is checked like that. Therefore, it is said that life is like a game of chess. How many of you have played chess? Shatranj ke khiladi kaun kaun hai? Okay, so we have many. So, in the game of chess, rule number one, patience. Rule number two, patience. Rule number three, and then it is said that the true traveler, he cannot play chess comfortably. Because it appears to be so slow. It's only you're sitting and looking at what? And if let's say Carl Lewis, he was a sprint runner. If someone like him, if he is sitting trying to play chess, he's like, "Arey Bhagavad jaldi jaldi." Close, just keep running. But it is said that a person who knows how to win that particular game, he has to follow these rules. Rule number one, rule number two, rule number three. Patience, patience, more patience. And therefore, this word is something very significant. A advanced person is called patient. मरीज को क्या बोलते हैं? पेशेंट. नाउ इन अ हॉस्पिटल, व्हेन अ डिजीज पर्सन गोज टू अ हॉस्पिटल, ही इज सपोज टू गेट सम मेडिसिन एंड गेट क्योर, विच मीन्स व्हेन ही टेक्स द मेडिसिन, इफ ही इज अ पेशेंट, ही हैज टू हैव पेशेंस. इफ ही टेक्स द मेडिसिन एंड टेल्स द डॉक्टर, डॉक्टर ये मेडिसिन क्या? So, many times it happens that we want that magic pill, that fix-it magic pill, that one pill I take and, sabka ilaaj keval ek hi dawa, like that, we want that one particular pill. So, therefore, patience is something which is the most valuable asset. If you remember this composition from your school days, one of the things is full of care, we have no time to stand and There is no time to stand beneath the boughs and stare as long as sheep and cows. Of course, many times, in Bombay I have seen, sometimes traveling by local trains, you see some people, you know, they are so much stressed out in their life that they start talking to themselves in that train. And one time I was sitting in front of a person and he started to wave his hands like that. I was wondering, I thought, kya machhar maar rahe, kya kar rahe? Karate practice kar rahe, kya? And then, you know, he actually revealed that he was so much stressed out in his office that he was imagining beating his boss. And sometimes, now of course, because of the technology, sometimes you don't even know that a person, you know, they have those kind of hands-free, they have a hands-free, that your hands are free, and you are talking to someone and nobody even knows that you are on a cell phone talking to someone. So earlier there used to be these earphones that at least you could see that, you know, something is going inside and something is sticking out from here and he's talking inside that. And then he's hearing rather, now you know something is sticking behind, you know, and just something. So, and if you're looking from this, you know, the profile of that person from this side, you're not able to see. So, that person looks a crazy man. And actually, I was wondering, and I didn't know that this one new technology has come in the cell phone. When one person in something was sticking out, a little thing was sticking out going into his ear, and this was from this side, and I was seeing that person from the other side, and he was talking to someone and he was going, hello. So I was thinking, there's crazy people roaming around here. Very much true, you know, this particular composition we had in our childhood. And now the middle age, which is considered to be Vadi. This is the age when people, whatever their hurried life then turns into worry. Middle age is the time the narrow waist and broad mind begin to exchange places. And in one's youth, the waist was narrow. V turns into A. The V shape turns into the A. So the narrow waist and broad mind begin to exchange places. In middle life, you know all the answers, but nobody is asking you any questions. So many times it happens that, you know, a person who is so much educated, and you know, sometimes we encounter some people who are too much educated and they know too much, too much, mucha much, so much they know. And sometimes they, you know, encounter, and there is no one to talk to them, they want to just vomit out all their education. But there is no one who will receive that all vomit. So they pass away back to them. I tell you, you know, what is advanced trigonometry and, you know, what happens, you know, when the rocket goes up and the blast goes down. Simple, rocket upar jaye to blast niche jaye. And that's something very confusing sometimes to people, that, you know, that I don't want to know all this, you know, I'm already troubled with my, you know, college, you know, big fat books and notes and exams and assignments and projects, so much. And then somebody, you know, a midlife crisis person who is totally worried wants to speak all that. And therefore, in a midlife, the consumeristic philosophy comes up. And it's something very interesting. The consumeristic philosophy is, we work in a job, that midlife person works in a job which he hates. So he goes to a job which he hates to spend the money that we do not have. Sounds confusing? How can you spend the money which you do not have? How? credit card, you do not have money, but spend. People are spending money. And therefore, the consumeristic society has made the modern day man into such that he doesn't see how much he is getting trapped. He cannot see the trappings and the shackles that he is more and more shackled. That's a very precarious situation when a person is shackled and he can't even see that he has a shackle. So that is what we spend the money that we do not have to buy things that we do not need. And at the end, to please people whom we anyways do not like or love. So this is the philosophy of a consumerism, of a consumer. And therefore, a middle-class person is saying that too much to do and too little time. I need more time, I want to enjoy my life more. I'm always running around. I never have time for myself. This just isn't life. I'm stressed out. Give me a break. I have no balance between my personal life and my work. I am bored. Sometimes reading that you become bored. But this is the story of practically every commoner who is trying to have that hurried life and then ends up into this worried life. And therefore this becomes the X-ray of our minds. Imagine, you know, if the X-ray of our mind is taken during that period of one's life, midlife, this looks like something very familiar. And we have some quotes. One is like a rocking horse that gets you nowhere. There is no more worrying about things over which you have no control, and if you have control, then do something about them instead of worrying. Sounds so simple, eh? When you read it. Worry is a small thing, a big shadow. And worry is the interest we take on the loan which we never took in our life. So therefore, we have to understand very well that where are we heading towards? Am I just becoming a crazy maniac of this consumeristic society, or am I a sensible person trying to look into what my life should all be about? As we are further we go, the reason why worry kills more people than work is that people worry more than their work. The only thing one should worry about is worry. Worry is the space between the now and the then. And it is a big illusion. You know what illusion means? Like mirage. Mrig Trishna, you call that? Mrig Trishna or a mirage. It appears that there is some water, but it's the exact opposite of that. It's a combination of hot, dry sand and scorching sunlight. In a desert, when you see that mirage, it is a combination of something, two hot things, and it appears to be so cooling. It appears to be water. So similarly, worry is something like that. It's so illusory. It is so phantasmagorical that we think that, you know, I worry, unless I have that particular emotion within me, I'm not getting anywhere. Something very interesting that fuel fire, cheetah, consumes the dead, whereas worry burns the living. In Niti, there is this verse, the shloka called, there is a difference between cheetah and chinta. The difference is only of one dot. But there is a vast gulf of difference when it has been experienced, because cheetah burns only once, the dead body. Whereas chinta burns that person all through the life. Blessed is the person who is too busy to worry in the daytime and too sleepy to worry at night. Today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. Now, why are people worry? First of all, you are normal if you don't worry. You are not responsible if you don't worry. Like, since all of you are students, when the exams are approaching and you don't have any tension. There are two students, they are punishing three. One is one who has studied everything, and the other, he has only studied film fair. So therefore, both of them are tension free. So many times it happens that as a student or maybe as a grown up person, unless there is worry, you know, it's considered to be abnormal and not responsible. You have not been comfortable if you don't worry. Sometimes people they go to some counselors and psychiatrists. Nowadays I don't have any worry. So I am worried that I do not have any worry. So therefore, we have to understand that it's not something abnormal if a person is free from worries. You are not acceptable if you do not worry. This is one of the reasons why people, they worry. When you talk about being sorry, it is said that an old man is saying this. Old man is saying, my hairline is in recession. Mundan ho raha hai. My hairline is in recession, my stomach line is in inflation. This is in recession and this is in inflation. Hence I am in depression. So therefore, Shankaracharya, in one verse, he talks about the old man. He says, he defines an old man. He says, Angam jaratam palitam mundam dashanavi hinam jatam tundam vridhoyati grihitva bandam tadatanam unchati asha pindam. Nice, sir. Sounds rhyming. Very powerful meaning. He says, for an old man, what's happening is, that in that old man's life, annam dalitam, his anga dalitam, melting away. The nice tight skin, that are hanging loose, is all just melting away. So annam dalitam, dalna puru ho jata hai. And then, palitam mundam, the nice hair, the beautiful, I would spend 2 hours combing at this side, so many sides. So the hairline is in recession. Shankaracharya is saying, palitam mundam, that without going to the barber and having a nice haircut, and so much so that there is no hair to cut now. So palitam mundam, then dashanavihinam jatam tundam, the nice surgical clothes which I used to, you know, smile at other people, you know, the wonderful teeth I would show. Now that 32 clothes, wickets are going away, ek-ek wicket over. What to speak of 32? There are no 3, no 2, no clothes, nothing. So, dashana vihinam jatam tundam grihitva vridho lati grihitva dandam. And now I require another support to just walk and take few steps. But then, Shankaracharya is saying, in spite of all that, tadatunamun chati asha pindam. In spite of all that, my desires have not grown old. My desires are still young and fresh and I want to still enjoy. And that makes me more miserable. Because we have the desires, but no facilities. Like imagine if you are hungry, and there is a nice feast in front of you and there is no tongue inside. And there are no teeth inside. So can you imagine the kind of precarious situation that would be? So that is an old person. Older is probably the time when you begin to exchange your emotions for symptoms. There are no more emotions, there are only symptoms. This is aching, that is aching, and everything is aching, and I myself, I'm aging 40. So the old age of youth, 50 is the youth of old age. And this is what a dying man was recollecting when he was on his deathbed. So the dying man is recollecting as he is going into his life, He is saying, first, I am trying to finish high school and start college. When a person is in school, he is waiting, when will that day come, when I will, like my elder brother, go into the college sometime. And there will be no more uniforms, no discipline, no homework, and I can go to college for so many other reasons. And Sudarshan is recollecting that, you know, first I was bound to finish high school and start college. And when I was bound to finish that college, and then start working, you know, otherwise, when people are talking about me, sometimes, you know, in some colleges you have the Bhishma Pitama of the college. 10 saal se hu main yahan pe. Are har ek watchman janta hai mereko. Har ek kutta har ek gali ka janta hai mereko. Sometimes they, you know, boast about that. They are the Bhishma Pitama of this college. You know, maine yahan par 10 garmiyan, 10 sardiyan sab dekhiye. Tu abhi kahan hai? Kya dekha hai tune? Like that. They want to pass out from that and start working for whatever they have been doing all that in that college. And then I was bound to marry and have children. What is the use of studying and then working if one doesn't have, you know, a partner? So therefore, officially when you appoint someone to pickpocket him, that unofficially there are many pickpockets. When any appoint, you know, specifically that there should be one only who pickpockets. So therefore, and then I was bound to marry and have children. And then I was bound for my children to grow old enough for school, so I could return to where tab chunni munni bade honge. And then I can go back and then work for them, and then they get married, they will have their chunni munnu. And I'll be heading towards my next life to become another chinnu munnu. So, and he's saying, and then I was bound to retire because I was so tired. I wanted to retire. And now I'm actually dying. And I suddenly realized that I forgot to live. So that is the stage wherein one is in the sorry state of affairs. The question is asked, was that worth it? 40% of the things I worry about will never happen, for anxiety is the result of a tired mind. This is real statistics. 30% concern all decisions which cannot be altered. I cannot go back into my past and, you know, sometimes they later on complain to the parents, मुझे मराठी मीडियम में क्यों पढ़ा, सभी अंग्रेजी बोलते हैं आजकल. Now you can't go back into your school and, you know, turn it into English medium, and you also coming out now graduate as an English medium. So, no. So, 30% concern all decisions which cannot be altered. 30% is centered in criticisms, mostly untrue made by people who feel inferior. So many times those criticisms are all untrue and we start worrying about them. 10% is related to my health, which worsens while I worry. And therefore, it is said 8% is only legitimate, showing that life does have real problems, which may be met head on when I have eliminated senseless worries. So we spend so much time on the other percentage of our life that we do not have time for the most important worries, maybe if they are, to meet head on to solve them. So therefore, while we all want to live on the top of the mountain, all the happiness and joy occurs on the way while we are climbing it. In fact, I was watching one documentary of these mountain trekkers. They trek on Mount Everest. There was this one, Mr. George, I forgot his other surname. So this Mr. George, who climbed Mount Everest when he was asked, you know, why? What was was the inspiration? Why did you climb Mount Everest? You know, you reply, because it was there. I climbed because it was there. So, I was watching the documentary in which it said, it was shown that all these people who, when they reached the peak, they realized, Abhyankarayadar. There is nothing out there. It's only a snow. There is nothing out there. And then, they were just interacting with each other and saying that actually, the journey was the most enjoyable. While we were journeying up, that was the most enjoyable part. And we were all just focusing on the peak, on the peak, on the peak. And we forgot to enjoy the experience of the journey. So many times our life also becomes like that. The more things change, the more we need to embrace things that do not change. That is real culture of a human being. Not that I keep changing from tissue paper to life partner. And that is what is, you know, everything nowadays, you know, you change your cell model, you change your life partner model, you change your job, so many things, change your home, change your dress, so many things people keep changing because they think this is progress. No, that is not progress. Real progress in any relationship also is how deeper you go in that relationship with that person. That's real progress of any human being. And therefore, one of the factors that induces one into these three emotions of hurry, worry and sorry. The first is a lifetime full of instant gratification. We are discussing about click of a button, I click the button, the channel changes, I click the button, it gets deleted, click the button, it gets downloaded, so many things, copy, paste, cut, paste, everything. We just want that kind of lifestyle. So that leads us into the syndrome of hurry, worry and sorry. Lack of self-control. In fact, we human beings, we are supposed to cultivate some control in us as against the animals. So many times we find that the animals are more controlling than the animals when it comes to their sensual gratification than we human beings who are supposed to be more self-controlled and self-disciplined. Lack of tolerance. And we see that how just a little instigation nowadays and there is a conflict and there is a war and people kill, the nations are exploded. Just because, you know, you are going into my territory, you stepped into my territory. Just because why you are in Maharashtra? You are not supposed to be here in Maharashtra. Why? Because you are not born here. Because you are from other state. So we are fighting among ourselves. Forget about anyone else coming and bombing us. So what we are doing, that we are making sure that all these intolerant conflicts which we are into, we are making sure telling them that please don't waste your bombs. We kill each other. So we are becoming a social worker. In that sense, that we are telling to the terrorists that please don't waste your time, energy. We have already devised all ways and means to become intolerant and have the conflicts and destroy each other. So this is another reason. And of course, artificial competition, in which everyone is trying to run the rat race, not knowing that even if you win the rat race, you will still remain the number one rat. So what is the point? But even winning that particular race, if that particular race which a person is running is on the wrong road. So a person might have a sophisticated vehicle which is driving, but if it is on the wrong road, what is the use? So therefore, we have to come over there and trying to get some tips. Live in the present. If you are not mature enough to learn from your past and plan your future. When it comes to the past, we should learn from it. And therefore, I always say this, that past was history. Future is a mystery. Therefore, God has given us this gift, which is called present. So we have to use the present in such a way that we don't worry about the past. We are so occupied and we plan out our future in such a way that it's bright, not dark. ask yourself, what is the worst that can possibly happen if I can't solve my problem? Prepare yourself mentally to accept the worst if necessary. Then come and try to improve upon the worst which you have already mentally agreed to accept. These are just some starting tips how to overcome these situations, and we have to remind ourselves of the exorbitant price which one has to pay for one in terms of our health. Let me indicate that due to the time of a person, he sacrifices his health to gain wealth. And then once he gains that wealth, then he sacrifices all of that wealth to gain back his health. So why to go around that crazy circle if we can avoid that at the starting point itself? And also the steps to be taken is developing firm faith in something sublime, which is beyond the renewal of this life, which is beyond this quicksand of this materialistic lifestyle. We have to have a lifetime goal which takes us, transcends us beyond this material whirlpool. And that is the beginning, the first step. Then we have to cultivate maturity. Maturity is not that I know how to plan my family. That is not maturity, family planning. Maturity means to plan our life beyond this particular life. That is real maturity. Just like a mature person is considered to be mature when he plans out, say, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. So that's what we have to plan out for that ultimate destination where I'll be tested out. Death. So death is like the examination and life is like the preparation which we have to maturely consider. Sense of responsibility. Now in this we have to understand what is our real responsibility. Not simply to take care of this physicality of ours. Not simply to take care of the anatomical aspect of our self. But to go beyond the anatomy. To go beyond the physicality and to take the responsibility and charge of our real self, that is the spirit soul. That is the beginning which we have to do. And also be committed. What's happening nowadays is that because of not having a responsible attitude towards life, we are no more committed. There is a job interview and this new recruit, he has been interviewed and the boss is asking, so how do you prove to be that you will be a responsible employee in our firm? And he said, sir, in my previous firm where I was working, whenever anything went wrong, I was held responsible. I am very responsible. You can take me. You can count on me. So no sense of commitment. Why? Because everything is coming from where? Everything is coming from the hedonistic lifestyle which people are trying to propagate. I was talking about some conflict resolution tips. That one of the reasons why people are into conflicts is the media. That in an entire family sits and watches Saas Bahu. And in that Saas Bahu, what is being shown? Conflict. You know, it's not in that conflict. And even if that Saas Bahu, they are watching that, they will not have any conflict. After they have seen that, when they switch it off, then they look at each other. Sumi Aishai. So what's happening is that everything is turning full because of the kind of lifestyle which people have created. It creates conflicts and these kind of no commitment in our life for someone else, what to speak of for our own self. We have to begin with trying to be committed to our own self. And for that we should know what is that real self of ours. And then having broad vision. The vision has become so narrow. What is the vision nowadays? I, me, mine. my house, my job, my family, my country, I, me, mine. And therefore what happens is, it just makes us into such a selfish person that our vision cannot be, you know, something which can look beyond all this material sphere around us. And therefore we create a comfort zone. We create a comfort zone around us, and we have our own planets. Little planets. My little planet and my planet Vasis in this little planet, and I'm living with them, and you know, I'm growing with them, and this is what. So everything is just because of the body concept of life and the selfish attitude, the vision has become so narrow. Therefore, Mother Teresa, she made a very significant statement once. She said, it's not a big calamity to know one's eyesight. It's not a catastrophe. There is no calamitous situation in losing one's eyesight. But if one loses one's vision, that is the most catastrophic situation in one's life. Not to lose one's eyesight, but to lose one's vision. And we are talking about broad vision. So the act of perseverance is supposed to be learnt from something so insignificant. It is said that a carrot takes 7 weeks to grow. And onion plant takes 9 weeks. Bamboo takes 7 years. But an orange tree, to give that fruit, it's the greatest and the most magnificent trees in the universe, takes 100 years. So somebody really wants the fruit from this olive tree has to have that perseverance in him. Rome was not built in a day. And here is our Thomas Alva Edison, who failed 10,000 times to make one light bulb. And when he was asked what was his realization, he said, I have learned 10,000 ways, or maybe 9,999 ways, how not to make a light bulb. That was his realization. And therefore, Emerson, he also said something very wonderful. To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. The kind of lifestyle we are living, if we just try to examine our own lifestyle, you will see that practically 80% of what we are trying to live, someone else is imposed upon us. The media, the Bollywood, the Hollywood, everything, they are imposing upon us, and we are losing our own self, thinking that if I dress like this actress, if I dress like this actor, if I behave, speak, walk, have a style like that, which means someone else is painting our life. Rather than that, we should become the painters of our own life and try to carve out the real self from our own self. And therefore, in conclusion, to overcome hurry, worry and sorry, we have to take shelter of Hari. Who is this Hari? Lord Krishna. Hari, one of his names. But then we have made it into an acronym also. So what does that H means? H refers to taking shelter of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Because of this, we transcend ourselves, our consciousness, beyond that materialistic life. That is the holy name. A refers to association. Then we can go further in trying to take shelter of that holy name when we are in good association. And in that good association, R refers to rectify. We have to rectify ourselves in that good association and introspect. I refer to introspect. So therefore, in order to overcome, ultimately in our conclusion, hurry, worry and sorry, we have to take shelter of Lord Hari or this particular acronym and take shelter of the holy name beginning with chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. So, at this point of time, I'd like to open for any questions if anyone has. Whatever we discussed tonight, if in case some points you didn't understand, many points you didn't understand, or if you didn't understand anything, I won't start the lecture again. But in case anyone has any queries, any doubts, anything to be clarified, you can raise your hands and you can ask your questions, or you are feeling shy. Yes. For success, luck matters or not? See, people define luck as one's destiny. That's another word for luck, they say. You know, natural is all that. Familiar. Now, destiny is something which we make. Man is the maker of his destiny and also the breaker of his destiny. So depending on what you do, your work, your endeavor from your free will, using your free will decide whether you will achieve success. And therefore, it is said that only one place will find success before earth. In the dictionary. When you will find success before work. So that luck, what the people they translate as destiny, is again the destiny is decided and destined to that person what he has done. Just like if you have studied well all through the world, then the destiny is that you might pass out in your exams. If you have studied well. But in case you have not studied well, then generally, otherwise people, you know, they have other reasons by which they, but generally speaking,
so generally speaking, when a student is studying, it's not that the luck is that he'll pass the exam. Because he has studied well, he'll definitely pass through because of his endeavor and working hard. So therefore, when we are talking about luck, we have to understand that we are not talking about some mystical thing.
how to control your sensitive feeling while achieving your goal. How to control your emotions while you are achieving your goal.
How to control one's emotions.
Easy work when we start it, and at last two times we have very enthusiastic, but in that something middle period we are from the neck and we do not have the enthusiasm for that work. So how to overcome that period?
No enthusiasm for
that. In middle period.
In the interim period. Now therefore it is that to become successful, three things are required: enthusiasm, determination and patience. Utsaha, nature and faith, these three things are required. Now, enthusiasm is something which at the beginning, when you start off from the beginning, you are very enthusiastic.
Now it is for first few days of college.